Well, we have got some big news in John's Gospel this morning. It is more important than Brexit. It is more important than snow. It is more important than Man City winning the FA Cup. It is news about to have life that lasts. Nicodemus has a one-to-one meeting with Jesus and finds out how to have life that lasts forever. A life that will one day stop being sad. A life where Jesus is your best friend. A life where Jesus' Father is our Father. The life that we all want. The life that we all need. John's whole book about Jesus is written so that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing he is who he says he is, gives us that brilliant life that lasts. And we've already seen some things about Jesus that Nicodemus didn't. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus tells us and shows us what God is like. Because Jesus is God. He's God the Son of God the Father. People didn't believe he was who he said he was, but to those who did believe, he made them God's children. Jesus, the God-man, offers life that lasts. Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night, which you'll have remembered from the video was said in a variety of different accents. Somerset, Welsh. He went to see him at night because Nicodemus didn't want people to know what he was up to. But Jesus said that weird phrase we heard about in the video. It's down in verse 3. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot be in God's kingdom. You must be born again. God's kingdom is another way of saying having that brilliant life that lasts. And you get that life that lasts by being born again. But what does that mean? Those of us who've been in church circles for a while might have heard that phrase, born again. It was really big in the 80s, apparently, when someone would say, are you a Christian? Are you a born again Christian? And some people would be like, yes, I think so. It's a really confusing phrase. So I have asked a mother and son team to come and help. So can I please welcome Sue and Matt Coleman? Round of applause for our mum and son team. Now, Matt, can I assume that you were born some time ago?
Correct.
Excellent. I was going to ask you how old you were, but I didn't want to go that far. So, do you think you could physically be born again?
Don't really want to try, to be honest.
See, people would laugh. I said they'd laugh, didn't I, in the email? Excellent. Well, we know that Jesus isn't talking literally because Matt can't be born again as much as he may or may not want to try. Round of applause. And the emails I got back were skeptical, saying they won't laugh at that. So thanks. It's impossible to be physically born again. So Jesus can't be talking about physical birth because we can't go back in our mummies' tummies, can we? Jesus is talking about a different kind of birth. It's down in verse 6. A person's body is born from his human parents, but a person's spiritual life is born from the Spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you, you must all be born again. Now, if you hadn't noticed this morning, you are human. You are human because your parents are human. Those of us who have children will have human children. Interesting fact, humans can't give birth to squirrels. Humans cannot give birth to carrots. I bet when you thought, what great biblical insights am I going to hear this morning, that was top of your list, wasn't it? We can't give birth to other things because of who we are. And that is the point that Jesus makes. To be born again is to be born by the Spirit. That happens inside where we can't see. But we're born again because God changes us. God, the Holy Spirit, who's God as well as the Father and Son, changes us inside. He washes us clean, so we are born again. And don't worry if that is confusing, because Nicodemus was confused and he knew his Old Testament backwards. That's why he needs this one-to-one with Jesus, because Jesus knows what he's talking about. Jesus is God. He knows what's going on where we can't see. Being born again means everything changes. A brand new start that we have no control over. A question for you. What did you do to help yourself be born? It is a very easy answer. The answer is nothing. You did not have anything to do with yourself being born. It was all your mum and dad's work, with a little bit of help from the NHS. We had nothing to do with it. So being born again means we don't do anything to make it happen. We can't just decide one day, I know, I fancy being born again. We can't do it. God does all the work because we can't do it. We can't be God's children on our own. We can't do good things like go to church and read our Bibles or make sure you always put the right color bin out or you're nice to people. None of that gets you to be friends with God. We are not good enough for God. We never will be. That is why we have to be born again. That's why we need this new start. Just like I had nothing to do with my own birth, I can't be born again by doing anything. And that is really hard to accept. Especially maybe at school or at work, where we're constantly being told to be the best, be yourself, be original, be imaginative, be inspirational, be all these things individually, while everyone else is doing exactly the same thing, and it all gets very, very confusing. We can't get to God on our own. Without this truth, we are lost. We need to be born again. And how do we get that new birth? How are we born again? Well, Jesus says it's by believing in God's lifted up Son for us in love. Jesus says, just as we can't control which way the wind blows, we can't control that new birth that we need. God does it, and all we can do is believe that he does it. Jesus helps Nicodemus understand this by reminding him of a famous true story from the Old Testament part of the Bible. Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. It is the same with the Son of Man. The Son of Man must be lifted up too. Then everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. Jesus says that the brilliant life that lasts comes with a deep change inside, a change God makes by his Spirit. And all we can do is believe, and the way we believe is by looking to what God lifts up in front of our eyes. In this Old Testament story, God's people, as usual, were grumpy. They were fed up. They were fed up with God because they didn't think that God would keep his promise to save them. And so poisonous snakes came into the camp. The people were going to die unless they believed in God's rescue plan. God told Moses to make a bronze statue of a snake and hold it up on a pole like this. No expense spared on the props. Now, this wasn't a magic snake. It didn't have special powers. It didn't have a strange bronze quantity that had a poison healing factor inside of it. It was just a statue, but because God had said, "This is how I will rescue you," it would rescue them. It's God's way of saying, "Trust me. Believe me, I will give you life that lasts. And that true story of the Bible about the snake is also like a giant signpost pointing to something else that was to come. Something else that would be lifted up in front of our eyes. God's way of saying, trust me, believe me, I will give you life that lasts. And that something is Jesus. He will be lifted up as well. He will be lifted up on a cross. That is how we are born again. That is how we have life that lasts, by opening our eyes and looking at God's lifted up Son. That is how we get life that lasts. Another way of saying looking is believing, trusting, saying to ourselves, I can't do this. Ignore that. I can't be born again. I need Jesus. I need the Son of God. We need to be born again. And that is big news. That is the biggest and best news anyone will ever hear. If it's news we hear all the time, maybe we've gotten a bit too familiar with it. It is the biggest news we will ever hear in our lives. We get to have life that lasts that we don't deserve. And we only get it not because we've done anything or because we're nice people, but because of the massive, deep love that God has for people. What Jesus says next is possibly the most famous sentence in the whole Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. God gave his Son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. That is the most famous verse in the Bible. And it tells us that God loves the world in a very deep way. God's love is deeper than the deep end of the swimming pool. God loves people who've said no to him and yes to themselves. God loves people who haven't loved him back. Think about how hard it is for us to love people who don't love us back. God loves people who don't love him back. God loves sinners. God loves people like me, people who are sinful. He loves people like you. The Son is lifted up because of God's love. He loves us so much, he won't just let people carry on living the way they want to. He won't let us keep ignoring him. He makes the first move. He takes all of our badness from us. Jesus is punished instead of us. And Jesus lifting up gives us his goodness. His life that always listened to God the Father. Think about school reports. Some of us may have lovely memories of our school reports. I have very fond memories of mine. I was a good little child. But not all of us have fond memories of our school reports. And if you ever got a bad one, and then you've got to walk home and you know that your mum and dad are going to want to see it, and you're like, what do I do? Imagine if someone like me, who was very brilliant at school, if I do say so myself, came along, took your bad report, scribbled out your name, wrote mine, took my good report, scribbled out my name, wrote yours, put it in the folder, and you've got to take that home. For some people, that would be a massive relief. That is what Jesus does for us. He takes our badness and gives us his goodness. But maybe you're thinking, this is a nice story. It's always nice to come along on Sunday, to come to church and hear all this stuff. But I know that as soon as I get home, or as soon as I carry on doing what I do the rest of the week, I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to think about it. It's a thing we all have. So here's a question. What will you be doing this time tomorrow? The time is 11:54. Wow, I will be finishing soon. Don't worry. 11:54. What will you be doing at 11:54 tomorrow? Some of us will be at school. Some of us will be at work. Some of us may be at home or out shopping or walking the dog or visiting friends. Depending on how well tomorrow goes and depending on how long we've been talking, I might still be in staff meeting. But I might not be. So what change to tomorrow will this one-to-one with Jesus make? Jesus ends the chat by talking about how to live again as born-again believers. He who follows the true way comes to the light. Then the light will show that the things he has done were done through God. Some people read sentences like John 3:16 and think that means we can just live how we like now. God's done the work. God loves us. We're born again. I can carry on living the way I want to live. While it's true to say, once we're born again, we can't change. We can't be unborn again. But it's also true to say that we live like how we are born. Remember, humans can't give birth to squirrels. Imagine if tomorrow I decided to live my life as a squirrel instead of a human being. Imagine if I decided to try to learn how to climb trees, live on a complete diet of nuts and whatever else it is they eat, and just act like somebody else, to act like something else. The weird thing is, in London, of course, because it's London, there are people out there who are living with a different identity. They are identifying as animals. You can go down to Hyde Park and see people dressed up like dogs and cats because that is how they have chosen to live their life now. What has that got to do with anything? The whole point is, if we are born again, we live like we're born again. We live like how we are born. If we are born again, people are supposed to notice. It's easy for people like me because I've got a uniform. Not every Christian does. There isn't a Christian uniform apart from how you live your life. That is the Christian uniform. We care about following Jesus because we're born again, and God the Holy Spirit lives in us, and because we're born again, we care about living God's way. Not to make God pleased with us and make us his friends, because that has been done already. We live like we are born again. If this is brand new news to you, this is the one change you need. Look up. Look up to the lifted up Son of God, Jesus Christ, with the same eyes of faith that God's people did in the desert. Look to Jesus and don't rely on yourself. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I've been coming to church for a while, but this whole born again thing, I'm not sure. I don't know whether I'm born again. Well, here's the change you need. Do you believe Jesus died to make you friends with God? If you do, you're born again. Born again does not mean living a perfect life. If you want to see an example of an imperfect born again life, come and live with me for a week or just have a chat to Jo. She will tell you, I do not live a perfect life. But if this whole being born again thing, if this is something that worries you, if you're unsure about it, then just come and have a chat. We'll have a chat about it. If you're sure that you're born again, if this isn't new, if this is something that you know so well, it is the bread and butter of your life. Here's a question. Do people know that? Would someone at school or at work or at home or anywhere in your life outside of church, would they know, yes, that person is a Christian. That person is born again. Would they know that you're different? Would they know that following Jesus is your first priority over other things? Or would they think, oh, yeah, they say they go to church, but actually they're just like me. Really? That's something for you to think about. That is not me being judgmental. It is something I need to think about too. To have life that lasts, we must be born again by looking up to God's sent in love, lifted up Son. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you that you so loved the world that you gave us your only Son, that by believing in him we may not perish but have eternal life. Thank you that Jesus was lifted up for us on the cross, that he gives us his perfect record and takes away our bad one. Father, for those of us who are hearing this for the first time, help us to find out more, to look for this life that lasts only in Jesus. For those of us who aren't sure where we stand before you, help us to take the opportunity today to find out. And for those of us, Father, who are born again, we know you, we love you, we come to church, we read your word. Help us to live a life that shows who we are born from. In Jesus' name, amen.